Mabad, our discussions after thanking Allah and praying the blessings of the Prophet upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Our discussions before our break were based on something that concerns every one of us. And what that is the precedent before the end of all of us, the event before we all end. So there are things that have to do with every one of us, because we all shall end. So the event that will occur before the end of all of us are the issues we were talking about before we had the break we had about 4 weeks ago. They were about Ashraf Ustah, the signs of the last hour. The last hour has to do with everybody. No matter how long an individual lives, if he chooses to live for 20,000 years, when Allah chooses to establish the hour, the Qiyamah, such persons will also end. So the matter concerns everybody, all and sundry, as they say. The book we read from was the book by Sheikh Yusuf ibn Abdullah Al-Wadi, which we mentioned at the beginning was a master's degree thesis from the Ummul Qura University in Makkah. We mentioned why we chose the book. We mentioned his choice of narrations in the book, that the narrations he chose in the book were authentic narrations, as opposed to many of those who have written on the last hour. Many just gathered what they saw, authentic or weak. They put it in their books. We gave examples. We also mentioned Husnul Tartib, his arrangement of the events. He grouped them into two, Ashraf Sa'a Al-Kubra and Al-Kubra. And even under each of them, he tried as much as possible to give a tartib, an arrangement, sequence, all of which aid learning and understanding. And we read the first 57 points he mentioned under Ashraf Sa'a Al-Kubra, the minor signs. And in all of it, we will see something kept on reoccurring. And that is the fact that the more we go closer to the last hour, the more there will be trials and tribulations, the closer the hour approaches, the more tribulations we will have. And the more widespread those tribulations will be, the more troublesome they will be. We mentioned in one of the ahadith that one of the early Muslims was explaining the hadith, that when the tribulations come, an individual will say, "Oh, I will go with this." But when Allah accepts him, he becomes happy. Another one will say, "Maybe this one will take my life." And then it will just go. And then another one will come. He will be afraid, "Maybe I will go this time." And then we mention the ahadith about people wishing to be in the grave because of a lot of turmoil at the time, a lot of women at the time, and the fitna regarding women, such that women would not find husbands to marry. They would not find people to be under their control. Because the virtue of a woman is that she's under control. Somebody is directing her affair. Somebody is guiding her. So we read in the hadith, he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that there will be 50 women under the control of a single qayyim, a single person directing 50 women at the time. May Allah make things easy for us. So, These will precede the bigger signs, which we'll start with today, inshallah. The Sheikh classified them and said, Ashraf al-Sa'a al-Kubra, the signs, the major signs of Allah. The major signs of Allah. And you see, compared to the minor signs, they are very, very few. The minor signs we mentioned over 50, about 60, 57 specifically. But the major signs are very few. Why? Because each of them will encapsulate a lot of the minor signs. One of what we mentioned regarding the minor signs was that it will be localized. It will be happening in a particular area, it may not occur in a particular area. But the major signs, Ashraf al-Sa'a al-Kubra, will be widespread. The entirety of the dunya will see. The entirety of the dunya will feel it. Will feel the impact. If good, good. And if evil, evil. The entirety of mankind will feel the major signs of Allah. If the sun is going to rise from its place of set and set in its place of rise, will the entirety of the world not observe it? When the Dajjal comes out, when he emerges, the Messenger said, alayhi salatu wasalam, there is not any spot on the earth he will not reach. That's why his movement will be like the movement of the cloud. He will reach everywhere on the earth except Makkah and Medina. So you see, the entirety of the dunya will feel it. Isa alayhi salam, he will descend from the heavens. There is not a way he will descend from the heaven the entirety of mankind will not see. Coming down, he will come down from heaven. Isa alayhi salam will come down from the heavens. Alayhi salam. So one major issue about Ashraf al-Sa'a al-Kubra, the major signs of the last hour, is that its effect will be overall, to be general, to be entire, in the entirety of the world. May Allah protect us. And then it will not be issues that are normal. One of what you mentioned about the minor signs is that they will occur as if they are normal. For example, when he told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, that one of the signs of the last hour is that women will walk nude. He mentioned kasiyatun ariyat, women who will be dressed but will be naked. We explained that ulama say that meant two things. They will be dressed and naked, is they will be wearing short dresses. So although there will be dresses on them, they will still be nude. The other meaning is that they could even wear long dresses, but those long dresses will show their shape, so they will still be nude. So you see, now, these days, it is becoming as if it is normal. It's one of the ways we know this is a minor sign. As if it is normal, but the major signs will not be normal. They will be things that contradict, absolutely contradict things that are normal. For example, one of the things he mentioned about Dajjal is when he commands people to follow him and they refuse, he will command the natural resources under their earth to follow him and they will follow him. If you have oil, for example, Dajjal say, you people should believe me, I'm your God. May Allah protect us. May Allah protect us. May we never be there to see Dajjal. If the people refuse, he will order the kunuz, the fortunes buried under the earth, follow me and you will follow him. Is that normal? We all know it's not normal. It's not normal at all. When Ya'juj and Ma'juj will come out from where Allah has imprisoned them, restricted them today, because the Ajuj and Majuj, they exist today, now. Just like Al-Masih al-Dajjal. Masih al-Dajjal exists now. So that's why what you hear is Khuruj al-Dajjal, the emergence, he's coming out. And what you hear about Isa alayhi salam is Nuzul, it's coming down from the heavens. So likewise, when ulama speak about Ya'juj and Ma'juj, they say Khuruj, they are coming out. So they are somewhere Allah knows. But some of the early Muslims believe that they are somewhere around the Russian subcontinent. And that during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, he sent some people to search for the place. Because Allah mentions them in Surah Al-Kahf. And they start. When we come there, inshallah, we'll discuss the issue. The point is, their number will be so large. And as is contained in Hadith, for every one human being normal, we have the Ya'juj and Ma'juj over 900. So if we are 5 billion, there will be 5 billion times 900. It is not normal. And when they are killed, because Allah will help Isa alayhi salam. Isa alayhi salam, after killing Dajjal, he will want to face Ya'juj and Ma'juj. The hadith is contained in Sahih al-Bukhari. And Allah will say to him, Isa, move to Shah. Because these people I have created, you cannot face them. I have not made creatures that can face Ya'juj and Ma'juj. So run away. From that, Al-Imam al-Bukhari brought that tabweed that we mentioned all the time, that al-firaru min al-fitnati min al-iman. Running away from trouble, running away from problem is part of iman. Because on that day, Isa alayhi salam and the people with him, to maintain iman, they will have to do what? They will have to run away. The point is, when Allah orders a disease to emerge from the neck of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, they will die. This disease that will emerge from their neck will kill them, and they will be on the ground. It is mentioned in Hadith that they will be so spread, covering the entirety of the earth, to the extent that there will not be a place for any human being to put his feet on the ground. So if there are a people who, when they die, lying on the ground, their carcass will be so widespread on the ground, to the extent that nobody will have a place to place his feet. Is that normal? So they will not be like normal affairs, like the minor signs of the last hour. We are just mentioning these issues to be able to differentiate between the occurrence of the major signs of the last hour and the minor signs of the last hour. And the point we just mentioned was that the minor signs of the last hour will be atif min naw'il mu'tad, like ulama say, atif things that are normal. But the major signs of the last hour will be clearly abnormal and miraculous. May Allah protect us. So that was what he says when he said Ashratu Sa'ah al-Kubra. So that's why he mentioned them al-Kubra. They are more widespread in their occurrence. It's not an issue of occurring today, not occurring tomorrow. And then they are closer to the last hour. Ashratu Sa'ah al-Kubra, major signs. One of the differences between the major and the minor signs is that every major sign is very, very close to the last hour. Very close to the last. For example, the Prophet Muhammad says, "Bu'ithu ana wa sa'ati kahatayn," alayhi salam. Says, "I was raised myself so close to the last hour like these two fingers." And he raised his sababa and al-wusta, his first finger and the middle finger. He raised the two of them. In another hadith, it says, "Bu'ithu fi nasam al-qiyamah." I was raised, Nasam, like we mentioned at the beginning, Nasamul Qiyamah is the last batch of human beings before the day of Qiyamah. But can we compare the closeness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the last hour and the coming of Isa alayhi salam? When Isa comes alayhi salam, only two or three events will occur before the last hour. And he will live for about 40 years. So, that hadith was authentic. So you see, very short, the coming of Isa, the second coming of Isa alayhi salam, is very close to the last hour. Ya'juj and Ma'juj, very close to the last hour. When you compare it to the coming of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the major signs of the last hour are far nearer to the establishment of At-Sa'ah, the hour when you compare it to the minor signs of the last hour. The Prophet has gone now, alayhi salatu wasalam, for over 1,400 years, over that. And you can see when Isa alayhi salam comes, when Dajjal comes, when the sun rises from its place of death, all of these will be shortly before the last hour. The point here again is, the major signs of last hour are closer to the hour than the minor signs of the last hour. So all of these, we are just trying to explain this heading, Ashratu Sa'a Al-Kubra, the major signs of the last hour. We mentioned about four differences between the major signs of the last hour and the minor signs of the last hour. Ashratu Sa'a Al-Kubra and Ashratu Sa'a Al-Kubra. The fourth sharaf amongst Ashraf al-Sa'a that Shaykh Yusuf Luwabi mentioned in his book is Zuhur al-Mahdi. Zuhur al-Mahdi, the emergence of al-Mahdi. Al-Mahdi, there are a lot of misconceptions regarding his emergence, al-Mahdi. Some of the people, and this is the position of the people of Sunnah, depend strictly on what the Prophet said, alayhi salam, about him and about the events surrounding him, al-Mahdi. And this is what we will explain, inshallah, and read the narrations to us. Okay, why do we need to depend on narrations from the Prophet Muhammad about these issues? We need to depend on it because it is from the issues of al-ghayb. لا يعلمها إلا هو. No one knows it except Allah. And in al-jinn, it says إلا من ارتضى من رسول. Except those that Allah is pleased that they know about it from amongst his messengers. So you make them know it. And we know the messenger alayhi salatu wasalam got revelation. Two of them, the revelation of the Quran, al-wahy al-matlu', and the revelation of hadith, al-wahy ghayr matlu'. That is hadith. So he told us from revelation, alayhi salatu. So it means we will not depend on any statement from any other human being that is not authentic. And that even if that statement is authentic, even if that statement is ascribed to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, we will still try to verify its authenticity. So for us to believe or accept anything as true regarding these matters, they must be supported with ahadith sahiha, narrations that are what? Authentic. From that I also mean hasan. Ulama fil qadim, ulama in the past, they used to count ahadith al-hasana as part of what? Ahadith al-sahiha. Hukman. Al-hukm wal-i'timad alayha. And depending on them, they dependent on ahadith al-sahiha and al-hasana on the same level. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us the name of al-Mahdi. He told us who are the ancestors of al-Mahdi. He told us what will be the condition of the world when al-Mahdi will emerge. He even described al-Mahdi to us physically, alayhi salam. How will he look? So if a person comes now tall and flat nose and says he is Mahdi and he is a Cameroonian, we will not believe. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us from where he will come, from who will he descend, what will be his name, where will he emerge from, what will be the condition of the dunya before the emergence of al-Mahdi. So when we understand this from authentic narration, because people have claimed to be Mahdi, we are coming back to that. Those in the history of Islam who claimed that they were the Mahdi. In 1980 here, somebody claimed to be Mahdi in Makkah. And that person held the entirety of the Kaaba hostage in 2 weeks, 15 days. In the scuffle that occurred, the Imam, at the time Sheikh Muhammad Shubayn, was He approached, he went to the front to perform Salah to Sufi. Those people just came in front with the weapons they had secretly taken into the haram.
Haram, Makkah, this Makkah we have.
Those days, the security was not as firm as we have it today. These days, if you hold ordinary a nylon bag, the security will check what is inside. These people smuggled weapons inside the haram. One of the ways they did that was through corpses. They pretended that some people had died. They were carrying their corpses inside the haram. But that corpse was filled with what? Ammunition. 1980, November the 1st of Muharram 1400. The 1st of Muharram 1400 was the day they started to make the claim. And the matter snowballed into the January of the 1980, otherwise it started late 1979. We can read about it. The man's name also was Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Juhani, al-Qahtani. Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Qahtani. We'll come back to it inshallah. One of the things that makes us understand that he was an impostor lying to be al-Mahdi was that it's not from the descendants of Fatima radiallahu anha. We come back to this narration. We are trying to say that because a lot of people claim to be Al-Mahdi, we will not accept, the world will not accept the claimant, the claim of any claimant until those narrations are fulfilled. The condition of the world at the time, where he will emerge from, who are his parents and forefathers, and what he will do and have the power and the ability to do will determine what that person, the acceptance he will receive from the rest of the Muslims. So, this is the first group of people regarding Al-Mahdi. Those who hold upon the truth. The first group of people are those who hold the truth, who hold the narrations from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as true. The second group are those who hold the narrations as true, but are false claimants to the personality of being what? Al-Mahdi. They also believe the narrations we believe, but they are false claimants to being Mahdi. Then those who go overboard regarding the issues of Al-Mahdi, like the Shia. The Shia, the Ithna Ashari, they call them in English the 12 amongst the Shia. They also believe that their 12th Imam, Al-Kassani, is Al-Mahdi Al-Muntazar. That's what they refer to. And Khomeini, the last one we knew, Ayatollah, also believed in Al-Mahdi. He wrote in his book, he mentioned Al-Mahdi in his book, and he was saying that the Mahdi is even superior to Anbiya. Yeah, Al-Mahdi, Khomeini. Khomeini, you know of Iran. He had many reasons, and that's why some of the ulama grade him as kafir. So those people went overboard regarding their belief about who? Al-Mahdi. The fourth group of people are those who deny outrightly there is nothing called Al-Mahdi. So four groups of people, one of which is the group of truth, the group of Sunnah, maintaining belief in just what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. Middle course. Those who will accept it but misrepresent it. Those who will accept it and go overboard like the Shia. One of what they believe regarding the Mahdi is that the mother who will give birth to him will be pregnant of him for one day, and he will be born on one day, not for one day, the pregnancy will last for one day, and the pregnancy will not hold in the womb, it will hold on the side of the woman. And that he had already been born, and that right now he has lived for 1,250 years in a cave, and that he will just emerge from that cave. They claim to know the cave, and they go there to make yearly celebration, the Shia. They have reports about things like this. These people go overboard regarding the issues of what? Al-Mahdi. if we have the opportunity, we mention one after the other. But we start with the people of truth, the people of Sunnah, the Prophet Muhammad. He said in a hadith that is reported from him by Salama radiallahu anha. In that hadith, the Prophet mentioned alayhi salatu wassalam. He said, Al-Mahdi min itrati. Al-Mahdi min itrati. Min waladi Fatima. Al-Mahdi min itrati. Min waladi Fatima. In another riwayah, it said, min wuldi Fatima. Al-Mahdi min itrati. Min wuldi Fatima. In one riwayah, min waladi Fatima. In another one, it says, min wuldi Fatima. It says, alayhi salatu wasalam, Al-Mahdi, and this hadith is authentic. It occurs in Sunan Abi Dawood. The hadith is sahih. So it shows there is something called what? Al-Mahdi. First point. Second point, he said, min itrati. Itra. The itra of an individual are those around him. Ulama explain what itra means. Those around him. Some say no, his family members. Some say no, his own grandchildren and offspring. They are his offspring. They are his itra. In whatever itra would mean, it means they are the aftership, the relatives of a man. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not just stop at saying that al-Mahdi min itrati. He made an explanation of that itra. He says, min waladi Fatima. From the grandchildren of who? That is what will knock off a person who is not from the descendants of who? Al-Imam ibn al-Qayyim, Al-Imam ibn al-Kathir, and many others amongst the ulama, they say, min awladi Hassan. From the children of who? Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. The first child of who? Fatima radiallahu anha. The Prophet said alayhi salatu. That hadith was reported by who? Salam. We have two proofs in that hadith. The first proof is the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Mahdi. It refutes the first proof who denied that hadith refutes the fourth group of people. The fourth group we mentioned. Those who say that it's nothing called Al-Mahdi. Do we get this point? So that the Messenger said alayhi salatu wasalam, Al-Mahdi, it means there is something called Al-Mahdi. First. The second point is that min itrati, it is from my relative, min waladi, or min waldi, min waldi. Wald means walad, descendant. But if you take it as walad is Fatima, you know walad is mufrad, go? And ulama of Lugha, they always say mufradun mudaf, tufidul umum. That is the children, the grandchildren of who? Fatima. So if you say walad is Fatima, wuldi. Wuldi is the jamu of walad. Wuld, jamu of walad. We are saying the same thing. From the descendants of, from the children of who? Fatima. And the ulama further explain and say, from the descendants of who? Hassan ibn Ali. This will knock off somebody who came later and claims to be from among, he claims to be Al-Mahdi, and he was from the descendants of Al-Hanfiya, Khawla, one of the wives of Ali ibn Abi Talib. We know Muhammad ibn Hanfiya, Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ali ibn Abi Talib had another wife. Her name was Khawla, and she gave birth to a son called Muhammad. For who? For Ali ibn Abi Talib. So that Muhammad was usually called Muhammad ibn Hanfiya. Some people say he himself is Al-Mahdi. This hadith that min waladi Fatima cancels that he can't be the one, because it's not from the descendants of who? Fatima. So those two points are established from that hadith. The second hadith is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Abu Abdurrahman. Ibn Mas'ud reported from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he says, لَوْ لَمْ يَبْقَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا يَوْمٌ لَوْ لَمْ يَبْقَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا يَوْمٌ لَطَوَّلَ اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ حَتَّى يَبْعَثَ فِيهِ رَجُلًا. If nothing remains from the dunya except a single day, لَوْ لَمْ يَبْقَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا يَوْمٌ. If nothing remains of this dunya except a single day, لَطَوَّلَ اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ. Allah will extend that day. And what will he do? حَتَّى يَبْعَثَ فِيهِ رَجُلًا. So that he could raise a man within that day. Minni, the man will be from me. This confirms the first hadith. Min عِسْرَتِي. It says, يَبْعَثَ اللَّهُ رَجُلًا minni, from my descendant. In another report it says, min ahli bayti, from amongst my descendants, my family. Who are those? Waladi Fatima. That's what he means, min ahli bayti. He says, alayhi salatu wasalam, yuwati usmuhu ismi, yuwati usmuhu ismi. His name will coincide with my name. وَيُوَاتِئُ اسْمُ أَبِيهِ اسْمَ أَبِي. And the name of his father will coincide with the name of my father. So what will be the name of Al-Mahdi? Muhammad ibn Abi. This hadith also occurs in Sunan Abi Dawud. The name of Al-Mahdi will be Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn al-Hasan al-Alawi. Al-Alawi are those who are ascribed to Ali ibn Abi Talib. That's why you hear Al-Alawi. Al-Hasani, because it's from the descendants of who? Hasan. And Muhammad ibn Abdullah, because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, his name will coincide with my name, and his father's name will coincide with my father's name. Those who disrupted the peace in Makkah in 1980, the man who was mentioned to be Al-Mahdi at the time, his name was also Muhammad ibn Abdullah. His name was also Muhammad ibn Abdullah. But he is not Al-Alawi. Neither is he or was he Al-Hasani. So the fact that the person must be Al-Hasani, Al-Alawi, is evidence that it cannot be Al-Juhani. The man was Al-Juhani. He cannot be from them. Because it was mentioned from him, alayhi salatu wasalam, that the Al-Qahtani, Muhammad ibn Abdullah Al-Qahtani, Muhammad ibn Abdullah Al-Qahtani, he is Qahtani, not Al-Alawi or Al-Hasan. That is how the falsehood of anyone who claims to be Al-Mahdi will be exposed. So we have to know about these narrations. Al-Mahdi must be who? Muhammad ibn Abdullah. From the descendants of who? Fatima. If a man comes, because people ask questions about this, so I would not want us to ask questions like that. A man is from Iran, or a man is from Russia, and he wears turban and goes on the minbar. I'm now Mahdi, people should follow him. So where are you from? I'm from Russia. If he says, we know he's not a is an impostor, lying. It's not what he claims. What is your name? He says, Abdul Razak. Ah, you are not. The one, Al-Mahdi al-Muntazar, is who? Muhammad ibn Abdullah. I hope these points are clear. Let us know about it. Issues like this are not usually discussed amongst Muslims. You don't talk about it. So every person comes, says one thing, wears big turban, hey, shouts, and then he deceives the people. May Allah protect us. The other issue about Al-Mahdi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in a hadith that is reported by Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri. He said alayhi salatu wa sallam, Al-Mahdi minni. The Mahdi is from me, that is amongst my descendants.
He says, Ajla al-Jabha. His forehead is massive. He will have a massive forehead. The one who was killed in Makkah does not have a massive forehead. So when ulama look at it, you are not the one. You are a liar. Because the Prophet said he will be what? Ajla al-Jabha. His forehead will be what? Massive. And then he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Aqna al-Anf. His nose will be long. The one who was killed in Makkah, it was the person who was ascribing him and saying that he dreamt that that one is Al-Mahdi that had a long straight nose. And then he has a small head. So the both of them, no one of them looks like he described Al-Mahdi by the Prophet Muhammad. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the Mahdi will have a massive frontal of his head and then he will have a pointed no. And then he will be from the descendants of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. It says, يَمْلَأُ الْأَرْضَ قِفْطًا. Al-Mahdi will fill the earth with justice. He will fill the earth with justice. There are two issues here. One is that he will fill the earth with justice. The second, which is rather implied, is that he will have the ability to do that. He will have power. He will have authority. He will have military authority, because anyone who does not have power and authority cannot fill the earth with justice. Justice is implemented, is enforced. With what? With power. Allah mentioned that. He says, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنْزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانِ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ وَأَنْزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدِ. Al-Hadid, iron, is the implement, is the tool to enforce authority. So when he says, يَمْلَأُ الدُّنْيَا قِسْطًا, that Al-Mahdi will spread justice on the earth, yes, he will spread justice on the earth, he must be able to spread that justice on the earth. As it's in this hadith, he says, وَعَدْلَا قِسْطًا وَعَدْلَا, justice and fairness. كَمَا مُلِئَتْ ظُلْمًا وَجَوْرًا, as the earth will be filled with zulm, wrongdoing and jawra, oppression and aggression. So it means one of the things that will be widespread in that at that time is what? Zulm and what? Jawra. People will be filled with zulm, the earth will be filled with injustice, wrongdoing and jawra, aggression and oppression. People will be oppressed with impunity. That word was regularly repeated in our country in the last 6 months. Impunity, impunity. That is, violating the rules and not caring what will happen afterward. So people will violate the rights of others without caring what consequences will come afterward. So when Al-Mahdi comes, he will remove that. And like you mentioned, he can't remove that except for the fact that he has what? Authority. And he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, وَيَمْلِكُ سَبْعَ سِنِينَ. Al-Mahdi will stay for how long? 7 years. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, he will rule, يَمْلِكُ. His reign will be for how long? 7 years. It also makes us understand that he will be a person of what? Authority. Because you can't rule when you don't have authority. You will be somebody, a person of authority, whose name will be Muhammad ibn Abdullah, who will be from the descendants of Fatima through Hassan radiallahu anhuma, and then he will spread justice and fairness on the earth when it would have been pervaded with injustice and aggression. That hadith also occurs in Sunan Abi Dawud. It was also reported by Imam Hakim in Al-Mustadra. It is hadithun hasan. From amongst the things that will be widespread during his time, the Messenger said, alayhi salatu wasalam, it says, يَبْعَثُ عَلَى اخْتِلَافٍ مِّنَ النَّاسِ وَزَلَازِلٍ. يُبْعَثُ عَلَى اخْتِلَافٍ مِّنَ النَّاسِ. يُبْعَثُ عَلَى اخْتِلَافٍ مِّنَ النَّاسِ وَزَلَازِلٍ. Al-Mahdi will be raised when people have a lot of differences. What is it? People are indifferent. وَزَلَازِلٍ. And turmoil everywhere. Turmoil everywhere. rancor, hatred, fight, quarrel, dispute everywhere. Then Allah will raise Al-Mahdi. يَرْضَى أَنْهُ سَاكِنُ السَّمَاءِ وَسَاكِنُ الْأَرْضِ. The people of the heaven should be pleased with Al-Mahdi, and the people of the earth should be pleased with Al-Mahdi. يَقْسِمُ الْمَالَ صِحَاحَا. And the wealth of the nation that he rules, he will share it with taqwiya, equally, sihaha. He will spread wealth, sihaha, equally among people. Because that is from the thing by which people oppress others. Some of the people take wealth belonging to others. Wealth belonging to others, they seize it from them, unlawfully. So when Al-Mahdi comes, he will stop all of that. You see every reason why we say that he must be a person with what? With power and authority. Otherwise, establishing all of these things will be very difficult. So these are some of the things that will happen during the time of Al-Mahdi, and then he will emerge. From amongst the things the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam about Al-Mahdi, was that Al-Mahdi one day around Sham today comprises of about four countries. Go. We have Syria, we have Lebanon, we have Jordan, and what we call Palestine, including the one they call Israel, supposed to be part of Palestinian land. So all of these used to be called Sham in Islamic literature. It is around here that Isa alayhi salam will mention specifically where. But the mention of the Prophet mentioned Isa alayhi salam, let's go on to say that it will be Baytul Maqdis, a place we now call Jerusalem. That is where Isa alayhi salam will descend from the heavens. We will look up and see Isa coming down. As they looked up and saw him ascending when Allah took him away, that is how we will look up and see Isa alayhi salam descending at the end of time. And when he descends, this Imam Al-Mahdi, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, will be about leading the Muslims in Salah. So when he sees Isa alayhi salam, and you know Isa alayhi salam is mean Ulul Azmi min al-Rusul, those amongst the messenger of Allah that their own covenant with Allah is stronger than those of the rest of the Anbiya and Rusul. So that's why they are referred to as what? Ulul Azmi min al-Rusul. Isa alayhi salam is amongst them. So he will respect Isa alayhi salam. Al-Mahdi will respect Isa alayhi salam, and he will invite Isa alayhi salam to lead the Salah. Isa will say, no, go back and lead. Go back and lead the Salah. So Al-Mahdi, one of the things that he will do is that he will lead Isa alayhi salam in Salah. What, this is one of the greatest evidences that all those who have claimed to be Mahdi and have died, and Isa alayhi salam has not come, are all what? Liars. The Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, this hadith was reported from him by Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansar. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, يَنْزِلُ عِيسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. Isa alayhi salam will descend. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, this hadith was reported in Musnad al-Harith. Al-Imam al-Harith reported this hadith in his Musnad. And the asl of the hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, يَنْزِلُ عِيسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. Let not any person now come back and tell us that he is studying the Bible. He has now made a research to find that Isa alayhi salam will not come back. Let them stop insulting the rest of us. Those who study the Bible amongst Muslims and then come back to say Isa alayhi salam will not descend, they are insulting the rest of us. They should stop the insult. The Prophet Muhammad, it says, يَنْزِلُ عِيسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. Isa alayhi salam, يَنْزِلُ. He will come down. And then they come to say, no, they don't believe. They should stop insulting the rest of us. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَيَقُولُ أَمِيرُهُمُ الْمَهْدِ. The Amir of the Muslims at the time, this is Imara, So I was saying, must have what? Authority. Amiruhum al-Mahdi. Their Amir at the time, who will be what? Al-Mahdi will say to Isa alayhi salam, Ta'al salli bina. Come, lead us in salah. This is the report in Musnad al-Hari. But in the riwayah of Imam Muslim, he says, Salli lana. Pray for us. In Musnad al-Haris, he says, Salli bina. Lead us in prayer. This is evidence that I'm mentioning this because some of our younger brothers just learning Arabia. If instead of a person saying that Salli bina, he says Salli lana, they will raise their eyes and see it is wrong. Because what they are used to is Salli bina. So when somebody says Salli lana, they think that is what? He's erring. But they are the ones not knowing. The person is not erring at all. Salli lana, salli bina. They are both correct. Salli lana, riwayat Muslim. Salli bina, riwayat Musnad al-Hari. They are both correct. So Al-Mahdi will say that to Isa alayhi salam. And he will say, La, Isa alayhi salam will reject. And then say, Inna ba'dakum ala ba'din umara. Inna ba'dakum ala ba'din umara. Some of you are amirs over others. Meaning that you are the amir, go on. Inna ba'dakum ala ba'din umara. Some of you are amir over others. Takrimatallahi hadhihi al-ummah. By way of Allah honoring this ummah. So one of Allah honoring the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad is that Isa alayhi salam will come, who had had his own sharia during his time. Not only that, he will now come and establish the sharia of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He will pray behind somebody who has come to revive the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. So takrimatan li ummati Muhammad. This is by way of honoring the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad. And that was why in another hadith related to this, the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, Minna alladhi yusalli Isa ibn Maryam wara'ahu. Minna, among us, alladhi is one, yusalli Isa alayhi salam khalfahu. Isa alayhi salam will pray behind one of us. The fourth hadith we mentioned occurs in Sahih Muslim. This hadith occurs in Al-Jami' al-Saghir by Imam al-Suyuti rahimahullah. So these are the issues that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has mentioned about Al-Mahdi. That his name will be what? Muhammad ibn Abdullah. He will rule for 7 years. He will be from amongst the descendants of Fatima radiallahu anha through Hassan, as some of the scholars have explained, including Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, Al-Jawzi, Al-Jawziyah, and then who? Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, amongst others, amongst the ulama. They explain that he will be from the descendants of Hassan ibn Abi Talib, Ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, and then he will come when justice will be required, will be needed on the surface of the earth. And then when he comes, the people of the heavens will be pleased with him, the people of the earth will be pleased with him. And then he will have a wide face, wide frontal aspect of the head with what? With pointed nose. And then the bay'ah will be taken from him between Al-Maqam and Al-Hajar Al-Rukun. And that was why Al-Maqam is Maqam Ibrahim. We know where Maqam Ibrahim is. Al-Rukun is just near the door. That is Ruknul Yamani. Yes, there are two Rukuns of Yaman. The one that precedes Rukn al-Aswad, the Rukn where Al-Hajar al-Aswad is, and the Rukn before it. So they are referred to as Rukna Yamaniyeh, the two Rukns of Yaman. But what is referred to is, in this hadith regarding Al-Mahdi, is the Rukn from where you commence Tawaf, which is Rukn al-Hajar al-Aswad. Between this Rukn and the Maqam Ibrahim, that is the point from where the people begin to take bay'ah with Al-Imam Al-Mahdi when he comes. That was why when Abdullah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Al-Qahtani, when he came and he was declared, he went there. That was where they made the declaration. But what has happened, Isa alayhi salam not coming before he was killed, yes, they lasted 15 days in charge of Haram. Over 600 people died. Because the soldiers came, do you know, they brought in commandos from Pakistan and France. They held everybody hostage in Haram. You imagine how that will be. They held everybody hostage. They had stockpiled weapons inside the Haram. The people not knowing that something like that was going to happen. And the Imam came in the morning to perform Salat to Subhi. They said, hey, stop there. Al-Mahdi is here. May Allah protect us. What happened? He was caught like a fish. He was killed, but the rest of them, about 60-something, they were about 300. Some were killed, of course, during the exchange of fire. But those that were caught, about 64 of them, they were beheaded publicly in 8 cities. They were distributed into 8, and they were publicly beheaded. May Allah protect them for laying false claims. At the time, people like Sheikh Bumbaz were alive. He was the one who gave the fatwa, because you know one of the reasons why we say haram is that it is haram to go in with weapons. But they did. May Allah protect us. So they needed a fatwa from Sheikh Bumbaz, we have to go in. Not just that, it was in the month of Muharram, the first day of Muharram. So the serious event, may Allah protect us. You can go back and read about it, how they laid siege on the Haram in the late 79 and the early 1980 by those who were claiming that they are Al-Mahdi. May Allah protect them. So these are the issues the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam told us about Al-Mahdi. And like the narrations we have read to us, we will observe that we mentioned the hadith of Umm Salama, we mentioned the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, Malik ibn Sinan, we mentioned the hadith of Ibn Ummi Abdin, Abu Abdurrahman, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, we mentioned the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. We are already counting about four companions. There is also the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib about Al-Mahdi and others. This all go to explain and affirm the fact that there is Al-Mahdi. And that's why the scholars of hadith, they say the ahadith that affirm that Al-Mahdi will come, they are what? Mutawatir. مَا رَوَاهُ جَمَعَةُ النَّاسِ فِي كُلِّ طَبَقًا. What has been reported by a large number of people at every stage of the report. So the issues concerning Al-Mahdi, it's not 1, 2, 3 reports. It's widely reported by the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. One of the scholars did a job to compile all those reports. And from the marfu, the statements that are directly ascribed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and those that were ascribed to the companions, they were 336 in number. The ahadith that are ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and the companions are mentioned to be about 336 in number. Some of them sahih, some of them hasan, some of them da'if. These all go to explain that Al-Mahdi is haqq. There is a man called Al-Mahdi, and he will emerge in this ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Al-Imam Al-Aburi was a Shafi'i who lived, a scholar amongst the students of Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i in later generations, who lived 323. I think he died 323 after Hijrah. So it meant he lived from around 250 to 320. Between 250 to 320. He has a book he wrote, Manaqib al-Imam al-Shafi'i, that Dr. Jamal Azzoon in Medina did a verification and editing. He published the work recently. This Imam Al-Aburi, Abu Dawud Al-Aburi, He said, and I read. He said, "Qad tawataratil akhbar." The narrations have come in tawatur, have been reported by a large number of companions, large number of tabi'un, large number of atba'u tabi'in, and so on to our time. He is speaking 250s after Hijrah. So it's not an issue of, Al-Imam al-Albani said, la. It's beyond that. Since the early times of Islam, two something. So he says, tawatarat al-akhbar wastafadat an Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they have come from different routes from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bi dhikri al-Mahdi, all of them mentioning al-Mahdi. Wa annahu min ahli baytihi, and that al-Mahdi will be from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa annahu yamliku sab'a sinin, and that he will rule for 7 years. Wa annahu yamla'u al-ardu adla, and that he is going to fill the earth with fairness and justice. Wa anna Isa alayhi salam yakhruju fa yusa'iduhu ala qatl ad-dajjal, and that Isa alayhi salam will descend and help Al-Imam al-Mahdi to fight against who? Dajjal. So three things. When Al-Mahdi comes, Isa alayhi salam will descend, and it will be a time that Dajjal is what? Alive. It's another evidence that all of those who have claimed to be Al-Mahdi in the past were what? Liars. Because no Dajjal came in their time except a Dajjal that will refer to as a liar. But Al-Dajjal al-Akbar, Al-Masih, he never came in their time. It's one evidence that they are lying. He says, وَأَنَّ إِسَىٰ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ يَخُرُدُ فَيُسَاعِدُهُ عَلَىٰ قَتْلِ الدَّجَّالِ, and that Isa alayhi salam will descend in his time and together with him fight at Dajjal. وَأَنَّهُ يَأُمُّ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ, and that he will lead this ummah. وَيُسَلِّي عِيسَىٰ خَلْفَهُ, and that Isa alayhi salam will perform the salah behind him. Al-Imam al-Hafiz al-Mizzi mentioned this statement from Al-Aburi in his book Tahzib al-Kamal fi Asma' al-Rijal. Al-Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar also mentioned it in Al-Fath al-Bari, and likewise Al-Hafiz ibn al-Qayyim in his book Manar al-Munif. Why are we saying all of these? We are saying all of these because we want to establish that it is true. Why do we need to establish that it is true? Because some Muslims, including the Ahmadi, they deny Al-Mahdi. They deny the fact of Al-Mahdi. They deny Al-Mahdi. So when we have these facts with them, then we have what to say to affirm our own belief and to defend it when the situation arises. So these are the points about Al-Mahdi. Some of these people who deny Al-Mahdi, they quote a hadith. Those who say Al-Mahdi will not come, like the Gulami. They are actually called Gulami, not Ahmadi. Gulami. They deny that Al-Mahdi will come. One of the hadith they prove, with which they tend to prove, they seek to prove that point, is a hadith that occurs in Sunan ibn Majah and Mustadrak of Al-Imam Hakim. In that hadith, the messenger was reported to have said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that La Mahdi illa Isa ibn Maryam. La Mahdi illa Isa ibn Maryam. There is no Mahdi except Isa alayhi salam. This hadith is a weak hadith. The roots of this hadith are dependent on a reporter called Muhammad ibn Khalid al-Jundi. This Muhammad ibn Khalid al-Jundi, ulama report and mention that his narrations are munkar. So Al-Imam al-Zahabi, he says, huwa khabarun munkarun. This hadith is munkar. That is a weak report that contradicts authentic reports. Not an authentic report that contradicts authentic reports. This is shadh. And shadh min anwa'il ahadith al-da'ifa. So it is not shadh. It is munkar because it is itself weak. Not just that, it also contradicts things that are what? Authentic. Not just authentic, they are mutawatir. So this hadith, Az-Zahabi says, Rahimahullah, huwa khabarun munkar. Before him, long ago, Al-Imam al-Bayhaqi declared the hadith weak also. Many others amongst the scholars did so. Like Al-Imam al-Sagrani, he mentioned that the hadith is even mawdu'. Al-Imam al-Shawkani, he added the hadith, la mahadi illa Isa ibn Maryam, in his book, Fawaid al-Fawaid al-Majmu'a, min ahadith al-Da'ifa wal-Mawdu'a. He mentioned it as part of ahadith that are fabricated. Al-Shawkani, rahimahullah. Likewise, Al-Imam Mula al-Iqari, he also mentioned that la mahadi illa Isa ibn Maryam is hadithun da'ifun. Some say mawdu, some say daif. The point is that it is not a reliable statement from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam. So, at the beginning we mentioned that regarding al-Mahdi, there are four people, the people of Sunnah and Truth. Ahlu Sunnah wal-Haqq. The second group are those who, yes, have affirmed, but they lay false claims. Fortunately, as we discussed, we were mentioning some of them. But we'd like to make a little bit of mention of some more amongst those who had claimed to be al-Mahdi in the history of Islam. The first person who claimed that somebody was Mahdi was Abdullah ibn Sabah. He claimed that Ali ibn Abi Talib was al-Mahdi. It was one of the reasons he ran away. Because his followers were burnt alive by Ali ibn Abi Talib. And Ali ibn Abi Talib was among those who reported that al-Mahdi will be from among his descendants. So how will Ali ibn Abi Talib be al-Mahdi? So Ibn Sabah was a Jew from Yemen who accepted Islam by way of disrupting Islam from within. He is the root of those we refer to as Shia. He started it all. And all of the tribulations in the early days of Islam, he was the mastermind of them. He was the one mobilizing. So when he heard that Ali ibn Abi Talib was going to burn him alive, he ran away. Abdullah ibn Sabah. So he was the first to claim that somebody else was what? Al-Mahdi. And who did he ascribe to be al-Mahdi? Ali ibn Abi Talib. All of what has happened has shown that that is a lie. Ali ibn Abi Talib is not amongst the descendants of who? Ali ibn Abi Talib. Radiallahu anhu. Amongst those who also claimed to be, who was mentioned to be al-Mahdi was Muhammad ibn Hanfi. I mentioned that. And the person who claimed that Muhammad ibn Hanfiyah was al-Mahdi, because Muhammad ibn Hanfiyah himself did not claim that he was Mahdi. It was al-Mukhtar ibn Ubaidillah al-Thaqafi that claimed that Muhammad ibn Hanfiyah was al-Mahdi. All of what has happened in history has shown that they are what? Mukhtar was a liar. Also, among those who had been claimed, who had been raised and claimed, who had claimed to be al-Mahdi, was Ubaidullah ibn Maymun al-Qaddah. Ubaidullah ibn Maymun al-Qaddah was the one who started a sect called al-Qaramita. Al-Qaramita, the ulama say they were worse than al-Yahud wa al-Nasara in their aqaid, and they killed a lot of Muslims. They killed a lot of Muslims. They ruled for over 150 years. They were the ones ruling the Muslim Ummah. But they had aqaid wherein they would deny the existence of Allah. They were the ones who came, of course, when they claimed that he was Al-Mahdi. When Al-Qaddah claimed that he was Al-Mahdi, he went to the Kaaba and removed Al-Hajar al-Aswad. He took it to Yemen. That's why what we have today in Haram is a fragment of Al-Hajar al-Aswad. It does not occur as a full block. They are fragments. So like the sizes of pebbles. So these sizes of pebbles, they were inserted in a stone. That is what we have today. So when you say somebody, that's why sometimes when the people say they want to kiss Al-Hajar al-Aswad and say, what are you kissing? Look well. Because what you have are pebbles. So if you must kiss Al-Hajar al-Aswad, and I have seen those pebbles with my eyes, you must be sure that you are kissing the pebbles, not the stone in which the pebbles are buried and preserved. I hope we get this point. Those who took away Al-Hajar al-Aswad were the Qaramita, because it existed there. The Tabi'un, Qatada ibn Di'ama, and Imam Mujahid ibn Jabr, they said they used to see Al-Hajar al-Aswad from inside the Kaaba, and they used to see the inside of it white, and the outside of it was black. We remember the Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, why it became black. The things of human beings. Things made Al-Hajar al-Aswad to be Al-Aswad. Otherwise, it is originally bright and shining because it was a stone from Al-Jannah. But the things of you and I made it to become black. And that's why Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says, if things will make a stone to be black from white, what will it do to human heart? It will definitely make it to be worse than black if there is anything like that. So those are some of those who claim to be, or who were mentioned to be Al-Mahdi. From amongst those who claim to be Al-Mahdi was Imam Muhammad ibn Ahmad ibn Abdullah al-Sudani. In Sudan, the Sudan we know, somebody came up in the late 18th century. He died in 1885. He claimed to be Al-Mahdi in Sudan. He was a Sufi. He was Muhammad ibn Ahmad ibn Abdullah al-Sufi. And then he was not Muhammad ibn Abdullah. He was what? Muhammad ibn Ahmad ibn Abdullah. He was a Sufi. His father was a Sufi. They came out at the end of the day to claim that he was Al-Mahdi. And a lot of people in the Sudanese region, they gave allegiance to him and followed him. Although one of those things that motivated his own emergence was fight against British colonial master. At the time, they were fighting colonialism. They were fighting the British, and they were also fighting Egyptian rule, because the Egyptians were ruling them in Sudan. So they were fighting two fronts. So when that one came to announce that he was Mahdi and they needed a military front, they just gathered around him. All of what has happened in history. Isa alayhi salam did not descend. Dajjal did not descend, did not emerge. They both indicate that his claim were what? Were falsehood. Of Sudan. It was in Sudan. You can go back to Sudanese history, 1885. They even refer to their dawla as Dawlatul Mahdiya. Dawlatul Mahdiya in Sudan at the time. He was executed at the end of the day. He was said, some say execution, some also says he died of a disease. A virus similar to typhoid. They call it typhoid. They said that was what he died of. The individual will gradually shrink, and then some protrusions will emerge from his body, and then his color and face will change, and then he will die. Sorry, there are doctors here. I'm just saying what I read. So these are some of those who have laid false claims to Al-Mahdi. So we've discussed two issues from before we intended to discuss. The first is that the way of the people of Sunnah regarding Al-Mahdi. The second is those who falsely laid claims to Al-Mahdi. The third is those who went overboard regarding Al-Mahdi and those are the Shia. They mention a lot of falsehoods about Al-Mahdi. They say he will emerge from a cave and it was from there they will give him a bay'ah. But we know what is available in the traditions of Islam, Orthodox, is that he will give him bay'ah between Ruknul Yamani and what? Maqam Ibrahim. That falsifies that point. And then Al-Mahdi, they expect, is from amongst the descendants of Hussein. The Mahdi from the people of the Sunnah is from the descendants of who? Hassan. Also, the Mahdi will be born as every human being will be born. But the Mahdi, they claim, was a person who is already born since about 1,250 years ago. But the one we expect is one that will be born. And they claim that the Mahdi was born miraculously. The pregnancy was not in the womb. I don't know where else pregnancy can remain in the stomach of a woman. If that is what they refer to as ectopic, Ducky, ectopic, when the pregnancy does not occur in the womb. So they say it will be from, the child will be born from ectopic pregnancy, and the entirety of the pregnancy will last for just 24 hours. And that when he comes, he will destroy masajid. The Shia believe that when the Mahdi they expect comes, he will destroy masajid. But amongst the people of Sunnah, the Mahdi will do what? He will uphold the Sunnah. They even say when the Mahdi emerges, he will go to the grave of Aisha radiallahu anha and wake her up and flog her 100 strokes for committing fahisha. May Allah protect us. They say a lot of evil things. They say a lot of evil things about Al-Mahdi. May Allah protect us. One of the scholars wrote differentiating between Al-Mahdi al-Muntazar in the Ahl Sunnah, the Mahdi that is expected amongst the people of Sunnah, and the Mahdi amongst the people of Shia, giving differences amongst the two, quoting narrations from the sources of Shia and from the Shia and from the sources of the people of Sunnah in over 120 pages. Very good thing to read about. And that was Sheikh Muhammad Bayumi in his book Aqaid al-Shia. So those ones went overboard regarding Al-Mahdi. The fourth group are those who deny Al-Mahdi entirely. Amongst them was Ibn Khaldun, who has the book Al-Muqaddimah. But he was wrong in that claim, because Al-Mahdi and his emergence is established from the books of Hadith, Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Sunan Abi Dawud, Sahih Imam Hakim, and other books of Sunnah. And the reports are authentically reported from the Prophet Muhammad. And as Al-Imam Al-Aburi told us, these reports are mutawatira. They have been reported by a lot of people from amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I think it suffices for us to stop here. Our next discussion regarding Al-Mahdi, regarding Ashrat al-Sa'ah, will be about Al-Masih al-Dajjal. May Allah protect us. When the Prophet spoke about Dajjal, alayhi salatu wasalam, the companions will tremble. Unfortunately, we don't talk about Dajjal again. And as he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Dajjal will come at a time that people have stopped talking about him. He says he will not be discussed on the manabir. Who amongst us prayed in the last 6 months Salatul Jummah and heard about Dajjal? 6 months ago. Who? I'm asking really, who? Did we, any one of us, perform Salah in any masjid and we heard Dajjal being talked about? So the time is near. The time is near. May Allah protect us. We'll mention Dajjal, inshallah, in our next class. But I think it suffices here on Al-Mahdi. So if we have one, two issues we could raise, inshallah, we'll try to give answers to them. Alaykum salam. Amin wa antum.
Concerning the issue of Mahdi, does it mean if somebody claims to be a Mahdi, automatically
that's one. And secondly, if he's a Kafir, does that mean automatically that means that he should be sentenced to death by not killing his leg? Does it mean that each time a person claims to be a Mahdi, it means that person is a Kafir that goes out of Islam? No. It's not. It is one of the things some of the people have shouted, that people like Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Baz, Al-Imam Al-Albani Rahimahullah, Ibn Al-Uthaymeen, Sheikh Muqbil Al-Wadi'i, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Abbad, these were the scholars, the teachers. Because those two who caused havoc in Haram in the 80s were the students. They graduated from Islamic University in Medina. So these were their teachers. But they did not declare them as kuffar. They declared them that they were erring in their claim, that they erred. So what brought about the execution? The execution brought about because they killed people too. And the ruling about who kills a person is that he be killed. It was confirmed that they killed people too. Because a lot of soldiers lost their lives and innocent people in the masjid. Imagine people laying siege in the masjid for 15 days, as large as the crowd in Masjid al-Haram. People could not go out, people could not come inside. So some of the people would try to free themselves, they shot them dead. So for all of these, those who were captured were executed because they killed people, so not because they were kuffar. In fact, it is even mentioned that they were not declared as Khawarij. These people. So, that the person claimed or was mentioned by those who were close to him and became very deceived by his piety, quote unquote, to say he's Al-Mahdi, it does not mean that they are kuffar, because they are erring. They are erring. It doesn't mean that they, by that, have become non-Muslims. When Ibn Saba was to be punished by burning or execution by Ali ibn Abi Talib, it wasn't just that because he claimed that he was Al-Mahdi. From amongst what Ibn Saba claimed and ascribed to Ali ibn Abi Talib was that Ali himself was an incarnate of Allah on the earth. And that is a capital offense, amongst other things. One of the things the Shia believes again is that this Quran we read is not complete. That the complete Quran is with Al-Mahdi. So when that Al-Mahdi emerges, he will come out with the complete Quran. One of the scholars wrote an entire book on this issue, Al-Khutut Al-Ariba, on this issue. The false claim of these people that the Quran is incomplete. And he repeated it strongly. Very nice work to read. May Allah protect us. Alaykum salam. Ameen.
Regarding
will the 50 women be married to the man? That hadith says, Al-Qayyim, a man who will control them. So they may even be his sister, his mother, his wife, his dependent, his daughter, his whatever. But he will be the one in charge of them. That is what it means. It doesn't necessarily mean that he will be making zina with 50 women. It doesn't necessarily mean that. Because that a man makes evil with a woman doesn't mean that he controls that woman. And what that hadith says is Al-Qayyim. an administrator. Alaykum salam. Yeah. Yes, they depend on Al-Muqaddim of Ibn Khaldun in the social sciences. It's one of the best book references till date on social sciences. Alaykum as-salam. So the ulama mentioned that. He wrote a book and he mentioned this. It doesn't mean that the entirety of the book is useless. It is just one of those errors in his book. And that it didn't mean also that he's not a person of Sunnah just because of this. It's an error he made. There are also others like Rashid Riba. He also has that opinion. He has a book of Tafsir in which he mentioned this. There is also the Egyptian Muhammad al-Ghazali. He also has this opinion. And some scholars of Ikhwan, they have this opinion too about Al-Mahdi, that it is not real, but their opinion is wrong because all of these ahadith are authentic. And as Al-Imam Al-Aburi, Al-Shawkani, Siddiq, Hassan Khan, Ibn Kathir, Ibn Al-Qayyim, and Ibn Taymiyyah, many of them have mentioned that these ahadith are mutawatira. So we will not give attention to the error of Ibn Khaldun. We make benefit with any other thing of benefit in his book that does not contradict what is correct amongst the people of Sunnah, inshallah. Alaykum salam. It's wrong. It's wrong to think that the Ummah will not be united under an Amir until Al-Mahdi comes. Some of the scholars say that it is part of the Makaid of Shaitan on some people in this Ummah. It gives the opportunity to go and relax instead of making da'wah and inviting, teaching people about Islam. We go and sleep as if we are waiting for Mahdi. When Mahdi comes, he will do his own khilafah. Allah, make your da'wah. And Allah will bring about Imara when He wills and as He wills. I hope this point is clear. So it's not evident. You find that in Silsilat al-Sahiha, when Sheikh al-Albani discussed this hadith, it is one of the fiqh of this hadith that he discussed. Lengthy. It is one of the ways of Shaitan to deceive some people. Because they will be thinking that they don't need to be involved in actively practicing and teaching Islam because they are waiting for Al-Mahdi. Do you know whether you will be alive when Al-Mahdi will come? So you won't know. So make your own effort. The narrations from the Quran and Hadith about Al-Amru Bil-Ma'ruf and Al-Nahyu Anil-Munkar are there. We must obey them too. Do we understand whether Al-Mahdi is there or not? Allahu A'lam. Alaykum As-Salaam. H-O-S. Now? You say what? Burning a person alive, on what condition is it allowed in Islam? I don't know any condition in which it is allowed. Because even what Ali did, radiallahu anhu, people like Abdullah ibn Abbas, we are not comfortable with it. And they mentioned it. And they mentioned a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is not. That's why you did not see the Ummah continue on it. The Ummah has not continued to burn the people alive after the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib by way of punishing offenders that are found guilty of the offense. You would not find it. Allahu Akbar. Alaykum As-Salaam. Sorry. Naam. The circumstance. How will Al-Mahdi become a man of authority, Amir? I don't know. Because the Prophet ﷺ did not tell us. But we can make inference. Because his khilafa, as is in the hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir in Musnad Imam Ahmad, is one of those that is referred to as khilafa ala minhaj nubuwa. Khilafa that is based on the way, the approach, the methodology of the Prophet Muhammad. If that is the case, it means we have to go back to the history of the Prophet Muhammad and how he emerged, leading the wide, vast area he led. Something similar to that will be the case of Al-Mahdi. It will not be through a rule that Islam prohibits. There are rules that Islam prohibits. That is rules, I mean, a way of emerging as a ruler. Like Al-Ghusl. A person coming now because he has power, he oppresses the people, kill this one, kill that one, announces himself. Part of that is coup. The coups are prohibited in Islam. It's part of God. Somebody has power, he come and show you God and say, get out. Or I blow your head. It's the same thing. It's wrong in Islam. Nevertheless, once the person occupies the power and the authority becomes his own, the Samina one, so that he does not waste the blood that Allah has held sanctimonious. Allah has held our blood holy. He will not spill the blood as he wills. They said somebody who had a security outfit went to somewhere he was not supposed to go to. And he was giving his men instruction that power has changed at the center. So he changed too. So when authority changes, you must change. You must. Some people are already shivering. You must change. So you don't start asking, how many people voted? Are they up to 10 million? The entirety of those who voted, and we are over 200 million people. That is one of the faults of democracy. Yes. They say government of the people, government of majority. Which majority? Which majority? How many registered voters did we have in Nigeria? How many? And how many is our population? How many actually now decided who should lead us? Are they up to 6 million? Those who said, we want Brother A to be the leader. How many were they? Divide their number by 200 million, if we are not up to 220 million in this country. So where is democracy? Government of the people, government of majority. Which majority is that? I think we should be realistic with ourselves. And Islam prohibits a person coming forward to say, make me the leader. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Man talabaha wukila ilayha. Whoever asks for it, he will be left with it. Allah will leave it. You want to be, do it, let me see. That's why it's not sufficient for you. Not yet uhuru, as they say in English. Not yet uhuru. There's an English expression like that. That is not yet celebration time. You still need to be begging Allah to guide the ruler, to help him, to forgive him, to guide him, to all of this. It is our responsibility as Muslims. He does not need to have to come and perform Salatul Jummah in your masjid before you do that. It's a religious duty a Muslim owes his leader after he has emerged. We were talking about the way of emergence, Abi. We left that now. After the leader is now emerged, he now has power with him, he controls the... You know what power means. After that time, he owes you dua. وَأَصْلِحْ أَئِمَّتَنَا وَوُلَاةَ أُمُورِنَا. You can't perform Salatul Jummah anywhere in Saudi Arabia without hearing this dua. I tell you, Nobody will perform Juma in Saudi without praying for the ruler. We call our own ruler. Yes. Don't we know that it is from the signs of wretchedness? He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that among the worst of people are followers who curse their ruler, and rulers who curse the follower. Somebody saw the card of a party that he belonged to recently. When he was the president, people used to curse him. He used to curse the people to, you know, go better for him. I mean, where you should not go better for him? It's wrong. Islam prohibits it. Once a ruler emerges and he has authority amongst us, we owe him the duty. Not until he comes and performs Juma. Some imam to be waiting that he didn't come to my mosque to pray Juma. So, la. It's a duty that if you don't do, Allah will ask you about it. Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal was punished by the ruler. And yet, they said he wants to set up rebellion. He said, me, I have a duty to pray for him in the public and in the secret. Imam Ahmad, Al-Imam ibn Kathir mentioned this in his book, Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya. I have a duty to pray for him in open and secret. Why now do I plan rebellion against a ruler? You don't know what I believe? It's not because he is the one. It's because it is Allah that has told me that I have a duty to pray for my leader to succeed. The point is, in our own community, it's not over. We still have a duty to beg Allah to guide those Allah has, whether we want it or not, entrusted the authority on our lands in their hands. We have a duty to beg Allah to guide them, to forgive them their sins, not to leave them to their affairs, because when their affairs are right, we will feel it. And when their affairs are bad, it will come back to us. Al-Imam Fudayl ibn Iyab was an eminent amongst the Tabi'un. He used to say, if I have an opportunity to make just one dua, I will make it for the Amir. I will not make it for myself. Because if I make it for myself, I will just gain it and go. But if I make it for the Amir, it will be for everyone. So we have a duty. In Islam, in Sunnah, we have a duty to be begging Allah to guide our leader, whether they invite you to come and eat in government house or not. Because some people will be abusing them. You know, go better for them. You know, go do this. They don't go talk well. When they tell him, go to Makkah, make Umrah and come back, he will come back and say, oh, there is no ruler like you. You would have been deceiving yourself. May Allah protect us. Now, present day Ahmadi, what do you mean? What does that mean? You always speak big grammar. Those who regard themselves as Ahmadi, who refer to themselves as Ahmadi, but they may not actually be Ahmadi. Go on now. Yes. No. And yes. No. If they regard themselves as Ahmadis and they are actually Ahmadis who believe that Ghulam is a messenger of Allah and that he has brought a book, Al-Barahin al-Muhammadiyya, different from the Quran, and denying all of these basic rules of Sunnah, and arguing for it, defending it, affirming that it is correct, that kind of a person who claims to be an Ahmadi, it is not correct in the Sunnah to pray behind such person. One, because of his wrong creed. Those creeds belie his Islam. Secondly, because we want to make them understand that what they do is wrong. One of the ways of doing that is by avoiding to perform Salah behind them, as we read in the Sharh al-Sunnah of al-Imam al-Muzani, that we should avoid those who are involved in bid'ah that are connected to Aqidah. So that is the answer, no. Yes, if he's just claiming but he doesn't know what he's doing. He's just claiming he is Ahmadi. He doesn't even know the meaning of being an Ahmadi. You can pray behind him, inshallah. Alaykum as-salam. Alaykum as-salam, ikhwan. Accidentally, you happen. Big, big grammar. SubhanAllah. What is your position? Let's start with you.
It's inhuman.
It's inhuman.
Yes. And on one part, they claim that they are Muslim.
They claim that they are Muslim. They may be Muslims, they may not be Muslim.
But because there is no way that if you believe Muslim that when you have a faith,
let's always differentiate something. A Muslim can do something bad. Before we say a people are not Muslim because of how bad what they do is, it must be that those things are the things that make a person to become a kafir. It's not every bad thing a person does that makes him become a kafir, no matter how bad that thing is. It is not every bad thing a person does that makes him become a kafir. We find that thing very odious, very grievous, outrageous, and all the grammar we want to blow. If it is not amongst those things that make a person to be a kafir, it will be wrong for a Muslim to be ascribing. You will be facing one extremism with another extremism. And it is haram in Islam. So it is wrong, like we mentioned earlier, to burn people alive that are found guilty. What about people that are not found guilty, like children? It's wrong. It's clearly wrong. But the ruling about are they Muslims or not is another thing entirely that can be discussed. Because people are saying, oh, they were planted by G15, by M16, by 910. You know, there are articles everywhere. So, but leaving that aside, judging by the appearance, they appear to be Muslim, but erring Muslim. Erring Muslim. Let's stop at that. Erring Muslim. And what they have done is condemnable. It's condemned in the Quran. It's condemned in the Sunnah. It's condemned in the proof of sound intellect. It's condemned. What then in Sunnah condemns it? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once Khalid ibn Walid or Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas led a battle. And in that battle, after finishing the men, they raced down the city and also killed women and children. When the Prophet was informed, alayhi salam, the hadith occurs in Al-Bukhari. Says, Allahumma inni bari'un mimma sana'a Sa'd. Oh Allah, I free myself from what Sa'd has done. Oh. My hands no deal. How come I call alayhi salatu? So how then will a group of people, those people we are mushrikun, idolaters, and yet he prohibited the way their children and women were handled. How about those who, most of whom will be Muslims? If they are not Muslims, they will not be as worse as the mushrikun of those days. So, what they do is not correct from the Quran, it's not correct from the Sunnah, it's not correct from intellect. That's why the issue of humaneness comes to. Sound intellect will reject it. So it's wrong, clearly. But to now say, okay, because they did something wrong, then they are kufar, there's something else. If they have not done or committed the things that make a person become a kafir, it is prejudicial for us to say they are non-Muslim. May Allah forgive us. Is it permissible to copulate with a pregnant woman in the Sharia? Yes, it's permissible. A woman is pregnant. Is it permissible for her husband to have something to do with her? Yes. Is it allowed to do da'wah between Adhan and Iqamah of Fajr, such as doing brief lectures? Sheikh Ibn al-Uthaymeen says that it is wrong. If he wants to do that lecture, do it within the masjid alone. Even though that period is a period of rest and worship. But those people who put microphone outside, they start shouting, Emma Kiru, Emma Gbawe, it's wrong. It says that it is wrong. When you make Adhan, don't speak in the microphone. When you make, after it, don't speak in the microphone. Drop the phone. And when you make Iqamah, drop the microphone. The salah the Imam is performing is for those in the masjid. It's not for those who are sleeping in their houses, like women and children. People even do it in Ramadan. They say they are making Qiyamul Layl. You disturb the whole community with Qiyamul Layl, your own Qiyamul Layl is wrong. He mentioned it in the fourth volume of his Sharh on Riyadh al-Salihin. Our religion has limits. Don't disturb others. If you want to make Qiyamul Layl, make it to your masjid. Those will pray with you, they will see you, you will be with them. If it is come to Salawah, make Adhan, drop microphone. Iqamah, make Iqamah, drop microphone. And mind you, this is implemented in some Muslim countries like Qatar. You can't pray with microphone. You can't. Likewise in Abu Dhabi, you can't pray with microphones on. You disturb others. So when they make the Adhan, they should drop the microphone. Ya la zalatu, ya la gada, they should stop it. It's not from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. Nobody calls the Allah Salatu to come into the mosque to pray. The Adhan is common for everybody. Alaykum as-salam. You say what? Oh what? Airstrike. I don't know. I didn't talk about that. And I'm not the current affairs commentator. Airstrike. Saudi Arabia is doing airstrike somewhere. Ibrahim is in his house. Some people are saying Muslims are killing Muslims. Are they fighting because of Islam? It is intergovernmental issue. Every country is playing his own international politics. Allahu Allah. You get it now. Every country is playing its own international politics. When Morsi was overthrown in war, people rose demonstrating and then removed Morsi in Egypt. And then one government in the western part of the world said they were going to stop their security vote for Egypt. Another government in the Muslim world say, don't worry, if they stop, we'll give you the money. Because the Morsi government is not a government that favored them. It does not favor them. So every country is playing its own politics that favors their government. And the government of a country are the leaders of that country. When our own government was giving the protection of aspects of our country to young boys and some of those who never knew where a university was and who never had a military training anywhere, worth billions. Was it not government that was giving them? Through that they were able to buy warships. Was it not government that was giving them? And the government at that time were the whole Nigeria. The government of the people are the leaders of the people. Only have one leader. So when you say government's interest, it is which person's interest? May Allah protect us. You see, we have every need to always beg Allah to guide our leader. Wallahi. And I had mentioned it. And I think, alhamdulillah, that Allah accepted our dua. That we don't have anything to give. We don't have anything to take. But we have dua. At the end of the day, people say, ah, it is God, yo. It is God, yo. Before, who was it supposed to be? So because Allah really protected us and gave us peace. Otherwise, we can't sit like this. May Allah protect us. We need dua at all times for our leader. No matter how stormy the atmosphere looks, with dua, Allah will help us out of difficult situations. I think it suffices that we stop here, my brothers. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.